Step one complete as the Eagles take down Washington 28-13 to improve to 6-6. Pull into a second place tie with those Washington. I got to say this. I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way. But the Washington frauds, that is the most disappointing way that I've ever seen a team that, you can't lie to your team if you're Jay Gruden, Joe Stazak, and say, oh, well, you know, we're going to do everything that we can. We're going to fight and battle with Mark Sanchez. If you're not even going to use your timeouts at the end of the game in a 15-point game, that was a full-on packet.
I still don't know why they punted. I know it was 4th-and-24, but giving the ball back with 3 minutes left, I mean, we're really stretching a little bit, but you got to keep fighting. Got to keep fighting. That was an embarrassment.
And by the way, I don't mind if you're going to be one of those teams that fully packs it in. Like, I get it. Injuries happen to everybody. But we're not going to listen and hear this, oh, yeah, well, we're just going to scratch and claw and battle and fight the rest of it. You got a 90-yard touchdown run. You don't think that some things could go your way here and there?
Anything can happen. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I would have gone for it, and the chances they would have made it were minuscule, but...
But if there's a team you want to try it against, maybe it's
punting.
The Eagles.
Exactly.
You know?
Especially this year.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the Eagles ran out of ways to shoot themselves in the foot tonight, so they ended up playing some pretty good ball.
It was pretty impressive. In particular, and I want to get your phone calls as well, 610-632-0975. A couple things jumped out to me. First things first, Carson Wentz had a couple of those vintage Carson Wentz plays tonight. In particular, I think about that rollout to Nelson Agholor.
Yeah.
The touchdown to Golden Tate on the roll. I thought that he looked as confident and as strong as he's looked this season.
Real good. He was real good tonight, except for that interception to Josh Norman.
Yes.
He was sharp. He was mobile in the pocket. I loved the pass to Ertz early in the game, first drive, where he was rolling to his left, and Ertz had his guy beat down the sideline, and he just floated a pass to him. It was vintage Ertz. He looked like he did in the first three games of his rookie year and all of last year. Except for the Norman pick, he looked sharp.
610-632-0975. All attention towards the ground game as Josh Adams kind of solidified his grip on that featured running back spot. 20 carries for 85 yards, averaged 4.3 yards per carry. It was the return of Darren Sproles. Corey Clement got 5 carries as well, but make no mistake, it was Josh Adams' backfield. And he looked pretty impressive tonight.
He was good. You know, it's a Josh Adams line, you know, 85 yards on 20 carries, 15 carries, 18 carries, and he gets to the outside pretty quick. When he turns the corner, if he can turn the corner, he's putting up positive yardage, and I'm happy for the kid. You know, local kid, undrafted, same as Clement, and he's making a case for himself, at least to be a number two if the Eagles go out and get a number one.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it is as much a necessity now as it was before for the Eagles to go out and get that number one back?
It's not completely a necessity right now because Josh Adams he's fine. You know,
right.
He's better than fine, but he's not spectacular, but he's good enough to hold down the fort.
And Joe, I don't know about you, but the player that I really had highlighted tonight for if the Eagles were going to succeed, they were going to have to get more from this player. And it was Golden Tate, who caught all 7 of his targets, 85 yards and a touchdown. It might not be exactly what we expected to see from Tate when the trade was made, but this is a heck of a lot closer.
I guess it's not as challenging to get him in the lineup anymore, is it?
To integrate him.
To integrate him into the offense. No, he was great tonight. It was a breakout game for Tate. The touchdown was phenomenal because he had an arm slicing through and still managed to concentrate and catch the ball. He had that big catch to get down to the 5 before the Norman pick. It was good, and they incorporated him and integrated him, and they went to him 7 times, and he caught all 7 balls. He was great.
Pretty impressive by Tate. Zach Ertz, ho-hum, just doing what he does, 9 catches, 83 yards on 10 targets.
You know, I believe he has 93 catches now, all-time record for an Eagle in one season. He broke Westbrook's record of 90 a few years ago.
It's kind of embarrassing that Brian Westbrook, a running back, is the one who didn't have the
catches,
record.
Yeah, that's... I double checked it because I was looking at T.O. Maybe he had 77 catches. He did miss the last 2 games of that season, but
Like, no way.
I was like, no way. That can't be right. You know that 90-yard run by Peterson was the biggest run they've ever given up in their history.
I did not know that.
Against them, yep.
Wow.
Longest run ever.
Well, other than that, I think I saw No, I'm going to have this backwards one way or the other. They either had 13 more carries for 14 yards or 14 more carries for 13 yards. Besides that one for 90 yards. Eagles totally shut down the ground game.
Totally shut it down.
Let's go to Andrew in Denver, who's watching the game. What's going on, Andrew?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man. What'd you think?
I'm glad the Eagles are still alive. I think they did a good job working Tate into the game. I was really, you know, I was really disappointed how he looked so far, and I didn't want it to look like we really blew that pick. But I think that one play at the beginning of the game where, you know, Wentz is rolling out and you see him make eye contact and he like points upfield. He's like, go upfield, go upfield. And it's kind of like that Sproles one from that first game of his career against the Steelers where he just lofted it.
We just lofted it down the sideline.
And that's when I knew, I'm like, you're starting to get that chemistry there. And then they had that touchdown on that drive. I'm like, good. Tate's getting worked in. We have too many offensive weapons. I mean, this offense is almost identical to the one that won the Super Bowl plus Carson Wentz. So once we can get past that stupid call on fourth down, down in the red zone where they should have, you know, thrown the ball into the end zone instead of rushed it. And then, you know, clean up that interception. This team would be up 39-13 at this point. So we're close. I think the offense is still there.
Yeah, Andrew, and thanks for the phone call. You know, I was watching Penn's basketball practice before I made my way over this way, and Jake Silpe's one of the players on the team, huge Eagles fan, said that I anticipate that the offense is going to start getting rolling here, and I predict that the Eagles are going to win by two touchdowns. That is exactly what most Eagles fans were looking for. That's exactly what happened. Pretty impressive showing offensively, and to hold that Washington team to 13 points, I know that they were down two quarterbacks at this point, but still, the other guys get paid too, and the Eagles did a great job.
Yeah, Sanchez has been around for about 5 minutes, and he gets called into duty. And six or seven, his first seven passes, and he got a break with his first handoff that went 90 yards. So that was a drive by Sanchez, I guess you can call it. But he turned into Mark Sanchez as the game went on, and they got more pressure on him. And the Redskins had no shot after that. Had no shot after that because they weren't running the ball very effectively. And, you know, Mark Sanchez, and in his defense, he hasn't thrown a touchdown in the past in 3 years, and he hasn't played. Again, he wasn't employed until 2 weeks ago. So Eagles got a break there. Although I don't think Colt McCoy would have beaten him on a night like this because the Eagles own the Skins. 28 first downs to 10. Time of possession, almost 40 to 20.
Wow.
Almost 40 to 20. Ridiculous numbers. Ridiculous numbers they put up. They out-yardaged the Skins 436 to 235. I mean, dominant numbers. 3 of 5 in the red zone. It would have been 5 of 5 if they had maybe done something a little more creative on fourth and goal. And the pick.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they punched it in 3 times. So they dominated this game. It could have been a lot worse.
Joe, I know that you always identify turning points in games and things like that. When was this one over?
When was this one over? Oh, this one was over when they hit the 2-point conversion.
Right, to make it 9.
To make it 9, which was interesting.
Weird.
Don't you think that was interesting?
I understand the rationale just to try to, you know, push them to
get two scores. Sure.
But man,
does the chart say that? to kick an extra point, you go up 8, and you make them have to make a
2-point conversion.
I would think that was the play.
That has to just be a gut reaction.
I thought about it in my head, and I said, you know what? They go for 2 here. It's a 2-score game. But not realistically. I was just
right.
It was just circling around in my head. Next thing I know, they line up to go for 2. And again, it was a nice pass, nice catch. I think was Tate on that catch too? 2-point conversion?
I thought it was.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, made a nice catch down near his knees and just
double check.
Rolled into the end zone. So it worked out for Peterson tonight, worked out for Dougie, and the offense flowed tonight. And you give Golden Tate a lot of credit because he was a big part of it. But it flowed. It felt a lot like last year. That pass, that bomb to Aguilar down the sideline.
Beautiful throw.
Little floater at Ertz. It did remind me, the caller brought it up, the pass against Pittsburgh his rookie year. And the pass to Tate, it flowed. And he was very sound tonight. Very sound, except for that pick. He balled tonight. Carson Wentz balled tonight.
Let's go to Julian in North Philly. Julian, you're on the postgame show. Julian.
Hello.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, my bad. It's a guff speaker.
Gotcha.
Oh, man, we finally got a dominant win. Like, this felt like a dominating win. Like, we went out there from whistle to whistle from, you know, start to beginning, dominated a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's about time. I mean, it's just been scratching and clawing the entire way, so it is nice to see a little bit of distance between yourselves and the other team, no doubt.
And there was really only two things I had a problem with. That two-point conversion call where the Zach Brown came through untouched. He just came through untouched and stopped us.
That was fourth and goal. That was a fourth and goal play.
Oh, that was fourth. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That was a turnover on down.
Yeah, and, no one touched him. No one blocked him. He came, you know, blocker free. Right, made a beeline. And was it Clement? No, it was Adams.
Yeah, you know,
knocked him on his tail for like a 2 or 3 yard loss. Yeah, I mean, I thought the play call was horrendous right there, running between the tackles on fourth and goal. I would have done something a little more creative, but hey, they won the game.
Yeah, and right before the game winning drive, our last drive before this one, they threw two back to back screens on third and four, on third and second down. What was that about?
Yeah, it's a good question, Julian. Thanks for the phone call. They clearly saw something and identified something, Joe, where they thought the screen passes are going to be something that they can take advantage of, whether it's Washington blitzing or whatever it is. They thought that was going to be an area where they would exploit, for sure.
And they made the right calls. You know, you have to make the right calls and know what the defense is doing, where they're coming from, where the blitzes are coming from, and they... Again, it looked a lot like last year. You know, this was only the second time this year they scored over 25 points. They did it 12 times last year. It just had a last year kind of feel to it. Not totally, because they made a lot of mistakes early on. It should have been more than 14-13 at the break, but it did have a little bit of that feel like the offense was clicking like it did last year.
Now, what did you take away from this big picture? Is it just, you know, staving things off for one more week? And obviously, the Dallas game next week becomes all important. Or did you see signs of life that could potentially carry over into some kind of extended run?
Yeah, and I think so. I think they can make a run. I think they can beat Dallas. Dallas is for real. We talked about that last week. I think they're for real. But, you know, it's tough to beat the same team twice in your division in one season. And, you know, the Birds are getting a little more confident and our offense is clicking a little bit. I can see that happening. The problem is if they tie Dallas, I think they own the tiebreaker. But the last three games for the Birds are a lot tougher than the last three games for the Cowboys.
Sure.
The Cowboys have the Colts, the Buccaneers, and I forget the last team they play, and the Eagles have the Rams, the Texans, and they finish with the Skins at Washington.
Yeah,
so they have a tougher road to hold.
And we anticipated when we were looking, the Cowboys wrap up against the Giants.
That's right.
We anticipated that they'd have a loss to the Saints by this time.
That screwed everything up.
And that messed
everything up. You know, that if this goes Dallas's way the rest of the way, just point to that game, because this was supposed to be a game. That was supposed to be a game where you kind of said, all right, Saints will take care of Dallas for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be a little different when the Eagles face Dallas in Dallas, because they're going to be, if they win, they'll be tied with the Cowboys. But again, they got the Rams coming up, who are 11-1 right now. And they have the Texans, who've won 9 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And they finish at Washington, which who knows? But they have a tough schedule the rest of the way.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Mike in Philly next on the post game show. Mike, you're on with Joe Stazak and Joe Torty. Mike,
you're on, bro.
No, you're not. Let's go to Samuel in Camden. What's up, Samuel?
How you doing today?
Okay.
I watched the actual game, though. We do not look like a playoff team at all.
What makes you say that?
Only because, though, we could not go into the end zone. Maybe you used Darius Prosser to walk in one time, though, but the defense left. Right now, though, we should blow out Washington. They had no quarterback. They had a third-string quarterback in the field that never played since 2016. We're all the same team.
Well, so I got to ask you, how much worse did you want it to be? I mean, the Eagles pretty much just ran the clock for the entire fourth quarter. Yeah. They could have scored as many points as they wanted
It was a very bad game. Though, let me tell you something right now, though. I'm an Eagles fan, full-blown. I love y'all. But right now, though, if we play the same way we play today with Dallas, that defense, that secondary is going to kill us.
What didn't you like about the way they played, Samuel?
It was actually a lack of why we could not score every time we hit the red zone. We hit the red zone 3 times. We scored Once.
Actually, they were in the red zone five times. They scored three times. But the two times you're talking about is when they got stuffed on fourth and goal and the interception by Josh Norman.
Why are you going to run the ball, though, knowing that the defense is already there ready to take you out? Why didn't they do a screen pass throwing to Zach Hurst, though? That was the boss guy, right?
Well, Samuel, thanks for the phone call, man. My fantasy team would have appreciated a screen pass in the end zone to Zach Hurst. But look, man, like, with all... Honestly, you'd like to see every game won by 30.
Sure.
Washington wanted no part of that game after halftime.
They were out of it. They were out of it at halftime. Listen, this was a divisional game that won by 15 points. I don't think it's the night to call in and talk about how bad they looked, because they looked pretty good tonight. They made mistakes, yes. They had penalties early. They out. Time of possession, the Skins 40-20 tonight. It was complete domination. It should have been like 42-13, but 28-13 is okay for a divisional game, for a game against the Skins, and a game that looked a little more like last year. Listen, they're not last year's team. You're not going to see the 51 points on the board, or you know, the 37 points, 44 points, 41 points. But it was a solid win. It was a solid win tonight. You know, I don't know if people were expecting them to wake up and be like last year. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen. But they took a step in the right direction tonight, I think.
Washington's two quarterbacks had played today, and obviously brutal news for Colt McCoy that his season's over. Two quarterbacks combined for 150 yards passing. And this so-called, you know, a ground and pound attack that they were going to have to go to when Mark Sanchez enters the game. Adrian Peterson gets 9 carries. Chris Thompson got 3, and Jameson Crowder got 1 for -5. So there was just nothing going on offense for Washington. Let's go to the phones and Coffee Jones weighing in as he does. You know him, you hear him on Philadelphia's Soul broadcast. He's breaking down game film with Jaws every day, every week. Coffee Jones, what did you see out there, partner?
I saw a better inspired Eagles team. I know the playoffs are slowly slipping away. You look at the division, it's getting tough with the Redskins on top early on and the Cowboys starting to hit their stride in this midseason. But the Eagles look really focused. They look really passionate on defense. I've seen a lot of plays out there. Rasul Douglas on the offensive line. There was a lot of good things to take going into next week's huge matchup in that 4 o'clock slot against Dallas.
Now, Coffee, when you watch this game, once Colt McCoy went out, the expectation was that it was going to be a big, heavy rushing attack. Adrian Peterson starts it off with a 90-yard tote, but they were able to shut down the ground game completely after that. What was the key for that?
I think it's defensive line. I mean, you talk about the Redskins' offensive line. They've been banged up with injuries. You're going against arguably the best front in football when you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles' defensive line. Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett. First of all, let me say this. I feel like Michael Bennett's going to be out there wearing a T-shirt next week. He doesn't have any equipment on. If I'm an offensive lineman, I'd be complaining about that. But they've been balling up front, and they're starting to hit their stride like they did last year in that playoff run up front, and that front four just dominated the game and just took away all running lanes.
Coffee, are we back on the Eagles' bandwagon? Can they make a real run at this thing?
I think they can. Obviously, winning the division gets you a home playoff game. That's the first step. This home crowd, I mean, the field, you can hear the crowd. It was electric. They see the entire game from warm-ups until opening kickoff. Every time Sproles got in the game or touched the field, I mean, the crowd was electric, and we've seen it last year, even in a game against Atlanta, to where your offense is sputtering. The crowd and that defense can keep you winning into the fourth quarter and win you a game. So then you get in the divisional round. Then you got to go on the road and make a play. You know, somebody's got to show up. I think there's a chance this Eagles team can win this division, get that home playoff game, and then it's anybody's game.
Coffee, obviously, we love when you call in, and one of the keys to that run happening and the playoff potential rests on the shoulders of Carson Wentz, and he had a tremendous game this week in particular, because you look at how he's done in the run-up to this game. He's been solid, but not quite as spectacular as he was tonight outside of the interception. What's been the biggest difference in his game that you saw tonight?
Well, overall, I think the entire offense, he's been on point. This has been a great season for him. The statistical numbers don't show like they did last year where he was a runaway candidate for MVP. But as an entire offense, I mean, there was 6.1 yards a carry, per play as an offense tonight. Only 5 penalties for this Eagles team, which is a very good sign. They converted 53% of their third downs. And this is the first game Carson Wentz throws over 300 yards. The Eagles actually won going back to last year. I mean, they were 0-4 this year when he threw for over 300 yards. So you finally got, you know, somewhat a balanced offense. You got 130 yards on the ground. You got Carson throwing for over 300. Nobody fumbled the football. He did have the one interception in the red zone. But for the most part, it was a clean play game for the Eagles team, and they got the victory.
Coffee, good stuff, man. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always, Joe. Good to see you. Go Birds.
All righty, there he is, Coffee Jones. Let's get one more in here. We'll get as many calls as we can in all evening here. We're taking you up to 1 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Eagleness in Binghamton is up next. Hey, Eagleness.
How's it going? How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How you doing?
You know what? I'm not going to talk so much about the Washington game. I liked what I saw. You know, almost everything was expected. I want to talk about a couple days ago when Dallas won versus New Orleans. I'm scrolling through Twitter. I'm talking to Eagles fans, and everybody's dejected. Everybody's holding their heads, and we just lost the division. If memory serves me, or if I have my math is right, we win, we're in. So I don't understand these Eagles fans that want to backdoor their way into the playoffs. Let's get on a streak. I remember Green Bay did this a few years ago. They were 4-6. All of a sudden, they ended out the year on a hot streak, made it all the way to the conference championship game. So we have everything that we want to play for in front of us. We win our games, and I think we're set up in a great position. Now, if we ever see New Orleans again, now we have experience of going and playing in the atmosphere in a playoff game. If we have to go to L.A. again, we have experience coming off two straight years of going into that environment and hopefully winning in that environment. So I think the Eagles right now look like they're ascending. Let's go on the field, take care of what we need to take care of, and we don't have to worry about what anything that the Cowboys are doing because our destiny's in front of us.
Well, it's a huge game coming up next. Thanks, Eagleness. Appreciate the phone call. And for the first time, Joe Stazak, for the first time this year, the Eagles have won back-to-back games.
First time. That's unbelievable.
It's pretty remarkable.
12 games in, first time they go back-to-back. That's incredible. It's been a tough year.
They make it three or four in a row, though. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they make six in a row, and then they are division champions. And then we'll see what happens. But listen, it's a long way off, and they got to take care of Dallas next.
Yeah, that is going to be the biggest game. And I know Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce talking about it before the game, that at this point it's a two-game season. They got the Washington game out of the way, had to have it, and now they turn their attention to Dallas. We will as well, but not before taking your reaction to this game. 610-632-0975. We'll also hear from head coach Doug Peterson as he addresses the media. All of that and more when the Fanatic postgame show continues. Joe Stazak and Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now is the perfect time to try FanDuel Sportsbook because FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a $500 risk-free bet. That's a $500 bet completely risk-free. Not sure what to use your $500 risk-free bet on? What about the NFL, NBA, or NHL championship? Who are you taking? Right now, I like New Orleans for the NFL. You can place a $500 risk-free bet on any game or sport when you use my code Jason. FanDuel Sportsbook is available in New Jersey. You can download the app, deposit, and check out the lines from anywhere, but you'll only be able to place bets in Jersey. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to bet from anywhere in New Jersey. Sign up with the promo code Jason and make your first bet on any money line, spread, or prop. If you lose, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund inside credit up to $500. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and claim your $500 risk-free bet before it's too late. Must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Refund issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for terms and conditions.
Here's the one you've been waiting for. Macy's Friends and Family. Get an extra 10 to 30% off with your Macy's card or pass. You'll even get an extra 15% off beauty. Find your favorite brands at our biggest savings, like down coats for her, 40% off. Fine jewelry, 30 to 50% off. Beautiful designer watches, 20% off. And go luxe with 40% off hotel collection bed and bath through December 10th at Macy's Friends and Family. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
And now, a page from the diary of Flo.
Dear diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Napa Know How!
It's the biggest holiday sale ever at Napa. Like a Black Friday sale every day. With hundreds of items at their best prices of the year. Like a 26-piece screwdriver set for only $17.99. Just $17.99. See, just like Black Friday, but nobody gets trampled. So don't miss Napa's biggest holiday sale ever. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 12/31/18.
Shop Lowe's and save on a Craftsman 81-piece mechanics tool set, now just $89.98. The set includes drive tools, sockets, an extension, and a 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing, making it easier to get into those hard-to-reach spaces. Plus, it's backed by a full lifetime warranty, so you can be sure the tool you need will be there when you need it. Get yours today at Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Valid through 12/5 while supplies last. See store for details, U.S. only.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said,
when we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
Joe Torti from This Week in Pro Football here to tell you about Concrete Cutting Systems, Inc., the industry leader in the field of concrete cutting and robotic demolition for over 20 years in the Philadelphia and tri-state area. So if you have a project which requires any type of concrete cutting or core drilling, concrete demolition, or interior excavating, call the specialist, Concrete Cutting Systems, Inc., located at 2514 Orthodox Street in the heart of Philly at 215-533-0652. With a 45-truck fleet, they are able to service all your concrete cutting, robotic concrete demolition, highway sawing, and sealing needs. They are the only full-service union concrete cutting company based in Philadelphia. 100% emission-free saw cutting and concrete removal services and complete slurry cleanup on all roadway projects are just two of the many environmental-friendly services they offer. Also with offices in Pittsburgh, serving all of western Pennsylvania. Check them out on the web at www.concretecuttingsystems.net.
Entertaining, informative, fun. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Here's Wes. To the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown by Golden Tate.
Yes, it is Joe Tessitore, Joe Stazak, Joe Torti. Three Joes here, 97.5, The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing, breaking up the Joe train. And one of the things that jumped out to me before we get back to the phones, Joe, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The Eagles dropped the ball, just dropped it on the ground approximately 1 million times and didn't turn it over.
There was like 3 on the first drive.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. Just, they dribbled the ball up the field.
And when I saw that happen, I started to think to myself, self... Washington always gets Philadelphia some way or the other at some point. And I thought that with Colt McCoy / Mark Sanchez, this was going to be the time. And they end up not picking up a single. It was amazing. 5 total fumbles, 0 changes of possession on the fumbles in the game.
Yeah, you get away with them sometimes. You know, they got away with them on that drive, I'll tell you what.
It's amazing.
Putting the ball on the carpet.
Absolutely.
Brutal.
Matt's leaving the game, wants to weigh in. What's going on, Matt?
How you doing, Joe?
Doing great. Thank you, brother.
All right, so what do you think was the key to the game? Because in my opinion, it was the offense. I mean, the defense, Rasul Douglas finally shows up for the game, you know, and pulls off a few plays. But honestly, I think it was the offense. They actually spread around the ball a little bit more. You know, what was the percent? What did we get in rushing yards? You know that?
I can tell you right now.
130 yards yep. total.
130 yards? All right, not bad. But I mean, like, it wasn't all on Carson Wentz throwing the ball. He spread it around a little bit more. I mean,
uh-oh.
Doing time. I mean, I think that was the key to the game.
Yeah, I mean, they had balance tonight. They had balance. And, I mean, Wentz was great tonight.
Not sacked.
No, he was not sacked. The, except for the Norman pick, he was sharp. We got a tweet, and you can read it a little later, Joey says he was inaccurate early on. They should have been up 20. He was 5 for 5 for 48 yards on the first drive, all right? 13 of 18 in the first half, all right? You know, it doesn't get much more accurate than that. And, yeah, they shot themselves in the foot a little bit, but they just continued to dominate in the second half until they got it up to 28. And, you know, could have been more, could have been worse, but you know, it's still a 15-point win in a division game.
I'm trying to think. Like, there were a couple isolated throws where Wentz missed a guy. But I wouldn't say that that was, like, systemic inaccuracy.
No, it wasn't at all.
You
there
know?
Were a couple misses.
Yeah.
There was one up
one
the sideline.
To Ertz.
Yep, up to Ertz. She had him.
Missed Aguilar once.
Half.
Deep on a deep ball.
But he came around.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Joe, we always look at the run-pass balance, and obviously this is skewed a little bit by Carson Wentz's kneel downs near the end of the game.
Had four of them.
So I'm just going to throw that away.
One at the end of the first half, too.
39 pass plays, 29 rush plays. I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. That's a good number. It's a passing league. They like to sling the ball, but how many rush plays did you say they had?
If we take 29? Out the four, it's 29.
29, yeah. 29.
I'm
39.
Good with that.
I'm way good with that.
You know what else?
That's
I'm good.
Balance.
I'm good with this. Washington got 28 pass plays and 14 rush plays. They just didn't run any plays. Washington just never had the ball. Like you said, 2-1.
20 minutes. 20 minutes they had the ball.
It's amazing.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. 20 minutes to 40 minutes.
Let's go to Ian in Wilmington next on the post-game show. What's going on, Ian?
How you doing?
Okay.
Just one thing.
Yes.
And I was at the game tonight. I've noticed a lot of fans there are still giving them a pass from winning the Super Bowl last year.
And you think that's surprising?
I don't find it surprising. I just find it to be a little upsetting coming from the fan base.
Well, what did you identify tonight that like jumped out to you that you know the Eagles fan base was giving them a pass for?
Well, I'll be honest. They went at a halftime 14 to 13. And, I mean, I was a little upset myself, just the way they played. And just, I'll admit, I booed them into the tunnel.
So, I guess that has an idea, like, why? Like, what was it that jumped out to you where you were like, this isn't acceptable?
You just see it. I mean, going for it on fourth down, I don't know why you don't get points against a team that you know is not going to score. Yeah, you might play defense, but then that turned around right into a 90-yard touchdown run.
You know,
so it's just, I don't know, it just, I think we're just a little ahead of ourselves thinking we could still do the same things we did last year, and it's just coming back to bite us in the butt.
Well, Ian, thanks for the phone call.
Joey, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you a question.
Yeah, lay it on me.
What did you think about, forget about the fact that it was a hideous call on fourth and goal. What did you think about going for it there? I like his aggressiveness.
Of course you go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've been seeing some tweets. People thought he should have taken three there.
Take three against Washington?
Well, Ian brings up a point. They're not going to score many points. Take the points because Sanchez is in the game.
Yeah, but
I would have gone for it myself.
But then there's other Eagles fans that are like, you should have won this game by 60. So what does it say if you're kicking? You know what I mean? Like, you're never going to make everybody happy. If it's me, I think I'm way better than this team, and I'm trying to.
And you don't win games by kicking field goals. You don't.
That's right. And now, by the way, regardless of the play call, they just didn't execute the play. Like, they just didn't block the dude.
No.
You know, like, Zach Brown is fine. Really? It's this easy to get a stop on fourth down?
Couldn't believe no one touched him. Couldn't believe no one touched him.
Didn't even look.
Unabated to the runner. Unabated to the runner.
Look, here's the thing. I get the people who are like, oh, you shouldn't boo your team. I think that's a ridiculous take to have. But if you're winning at halftime, that's unbooable, I think. No matter how poorly you think that your team plays. If you're up at halftime, your boo is reserved for being down to like two scores to a team that you have no business being down two scores to. Well, like, that's just a personal opinion.
I agree. It's expectations. They expected more because of the situation. You know, that did turn into a possibly a 14-point swing there. They don't score the ball, and then Peterson takes it 90 yards.
I get it.
You know, that backfired on them, and I think that that left a real bad taste in people's mouths because it was only a one-point game at that point, and they felt that they should have had like a 21-point lead, or at least 21 points on the board.
I'll buy that. But, I mean, I think that we're missing some perspective here as well, where it's like, all right, 2 weeks ago, it looked like we'd be looking at mock drafts and figure out who's going to be going in the 10, 11, 12 range, like where the Eagles would end up. Now there's a path, multiple paths, through the wild card and the division.
We're still in the wild card hunt.
To make the playoffs, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but it's not the way I wanted it. You know, it's like, come on now. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it the wrong way.
That stop, the fact they got stuffed there, they didn't punch the ball in, they had first and goal at like the five. I think tack that on to how they've played this year, I think it was more of the same. People were thinking, this is just more of the same as they've played this year. And I think it was kind of an extension of how the season has gone. And I think that's what upset some folks.
It could be. But like, so the third quarter, right? Nobody scored. But at least as far as I watch, and Joe, if you saw something different, let me know. In that quarter, it became apparent that Washington wasn't going to do anything against Philadelphia much the rest of the way.
That is correct.
And I thought that it was just a matter of time before Philadelphia, you know, popped a couple. They ended up doing that in the fourth quarter. I don't know. Maybe I'm just relieved. Maybe I'm just happy that there's a tomorrow, that the Dallas game matters, that there's an opportunity to get through.
Every time they win, it gives us another week, at least another week to talk football.
Hanging in on life support, baby.
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there.
I know we got full lines. We're going to get to you next. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak, Joe Torti on the Fanatic Postgame Show.
97.5, The Fanatic. Real cases from the files of Swartz Culleton.
My name is Pawnee. I was a supervisor and good at my job until I suffered a head injury due to a defective product at work. After the accident, I was just not getting better. Then I called the attorneys at Swartz Culleton. They filed a product liability lawsuit and handled my workers' compensation claim. All the while, they helped arrange treatment with the best doctors. Swartz Culleton fought hard and got me a large cash settlement. Without Swartz Culleton, I don't know if I ever would have won my claim. Now I refer all my friends and family to Swartz Culleton. Swartz Culleton got me justice.
If you've been injured at work, get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-587-8423. 1-800-JUSTICE. Don't let the insurance companies take advantage of you. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-JUSTICE.
What is a Burns Honda original? It's when a family or friend purchases a brand new Honda from Burns, maintains it regularly at the Burns dealership for the next 2 to 3 years, and then trades it back into Burns when they are ready for a new Honda. The Honda they traded in is now a Burns Honda original. Factory certified used car. One car, one dealer, one story. Can a non-franchise used car dealer share the same story? Can they say they sold it new and know the customer and the car? Burns Honda is your used car destination in South Jersey. Find your Burns Honda original. Visit BurnsHonda.com today.
Shop Lowe's and save on a Craftsman 81-piece mechanics tool set, now just $89.98. The set includes drive tools, sockets, an extension, and a 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing, making it easier to get into those hard-to-reach spaces. Plus, it's backed by a full lifetime warranty, so you can be sure the tool you need will be there when you need it. Get yours today at Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Valid through 12/5 while supplies last. See store for details. U.S. only.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. For a limited time, switch to get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice line. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond Fast.
Offerings 12/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about $1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said,
when we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
Hey, it's Jason Mertedis for Window Nation. Time is running out on Window Nation's Deal of the Year. This week is the final week for buy two windows, get two free. Buy four, get four free. Buy six, get six free with no limit. Plus, get 0% financing for 5 full years. Save that well-earned money to splurge on your family, friends, or yourself this holiday season. Temperatures have fallen. You feeling that cold air coming into your home? It's only going to get colder over the next couple of months, and your energy bills are starting to rise. So now's the time to get those windows replaced. Window Nation has saved customers an estimated $40 million in energy over the years. This is the final week of the best offer of the year from Window Nation. This absolutely ends Sunday. Get two free windows for every two you buy. Buy four, get four free, no limit. Plus 0% interest for 5 years. Call today, 866-90-NATION, and save thousands on your windows and your energy bills. Use for holiday shopping this season. Save today, save tomorrow, save forever. Call 866-90-NATION today or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Marzetta and Trey in the morning. Gargano and Martinez, middays. Missinelli afternoons.
This is the sports voice of the new Philadelphia.
97.5, The Fanatic. Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
Mark Sanchez, his last game action was here, week 17 of 2016, at the Eagles with the Cowboys. He's back. Adrian Peterson is going to help him. Look at the 33-year-old Adrian Peterson.
Joe, I figure you probably do that if you were commentating, like the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I always thought about how, like how weird it is that we always talk about people say, "Look at the 37-year-old Adriana Lima go down the runway." It's like, come on, what other circumstance would that be appropriate? Joe Stazak, Joe Torti here on the post game show.
Totally right, man. Totally right.
These are all the thoughts that kept me, as George Carlin would say, these are all the thoughts that kept me out of all the really good schools. That's what happened. Let's go to Rick, who's leaving the game. What's going on, Rick?
Hello.
Hey.
What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just leaving the game now. I mean, I can't believe all these fans with a negative attitude.
Yeah, where's it coming from?
I don't know. Look, there's only 16 games in the year. I'm not ready to have my season over. We won a big game last week, do or die. We win another one today. Doesn't matter how it was done. We got one more week, like you guys were alluding to. We got one more week to look forward to get hype. We got Dallas, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and that's the thing. Like we were talking about it with Tyler during the break, and he, you know, to his credit, he's looking at the scenarios. He's trying to figure out, you know, can they win on the road in L.A.? Can they beat Houston? And the truth is, it's still a one-game season right now. If they don't beat Dallas, it doesn't matter. We're just happy to keep it moving for one more year. Or one more game.
I agree 100%. It's hard to sweep a team. They came into our house. They took us down. They're going to do that again. I don't know. Maybe they're coming off a high. New Orleans. I don't put too much stock into that. You know, New Orleans crushed us. Dallas beats them. That doesn't mean anything. The Giants beat the Bears this week. Anyone can beat anyone. It's wide open. I seen us go to the championship game in 2008 when we were whatever the record was, when Kevin Cobb came in for a minute.
In the Baltimore game. Everyone, I keep talking about that, and they went on a run to get to, and they ended up like minutes away from going to the Super Bowl.
I agree 100%. People need to relax. We got at least one more week of football left. That's all that matters. Enjoy it. Read the paper. Listen to the radio. Get hyped, and let's get nuts.
All right, Rick, there you go, man. Thanks for the phone call. That's the truth, right, Joe? Like, when you are on the losing end of a game like that, you ignore everything. Like, you don't type in ESPN into your search bar. You're not reading. Like, it's brutal on a losing week to consume any kind of sports media.
Oh, yeah.
You
can enjoy it with a win.
Yeah.
And everything else is rosy when you watch the other teams and all the highlights and everything going on. You want to read all the articles about your team, and there's one more week to do that, at least one more week.
And here's the thing too, this is going to be one of those games. I mean, people are talking about it's a revenge situation for the Eagles. It is a game that the Eagles need a lot more than Dallas needs. I mean, there are a lot of things that could go the Eagles way here. Truly. Justin in South Philly's next. Hey, Justin.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Justin?
Doing good. So I just want to talk about how Golden Tate and him stepping up this week, getting a lot of reception and scoring that touchdown. He did something very well this week that we haven't seen in previous weeks.
Yeah, that's the truth, man. That was a guy that I thought needed to step up. If the Eagles were going to have any kind of chance of going on a run like that, Tate's got to play better, and he did tonight.
Oh, yeah. I threw on the Tate jersey and I put away the Wentz jersey. I definitely think Wentz played good today, and so did Tate.
Yeah, you got a Tate jersey, eh?
Oh yeah, 1-9.
Well nice, done, man. Tate. You got to be one of the few in the city.
Yeah, right.
That's good work, man.
That is good work.
That opens up a phone line, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike in Flower Town next on the post game show. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, Jay. Joe, how you been?
What's up, brother?
It was a great game, you know? And the fact that Sproles didn't play all season, I'm giving him the game ball because
still looks pretty quick to me.
No, I know. He was great. And the fact that they got Golden Tate involved, it was good, you know? To be honest with you, I thought the Eagles played very well. And, the only thing about Sanchez coming into the game, you know, so if we don't take care of our business now, the Redskins are going to be hard to beat in the last game, you know, because of Sanchez.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if anybody fears Mark Sanchez now at this point.
Who's the emergency quarterback? Does anyone know?
I thought for some reason
Bring
that I read
Brian
that it was
Mitchell out of the booth.
I thought for some reason I read that it was Jameson Crowder, but
maybe
I'm not positive about that. Man, oh man,
another body bag game. By the way, Dallas is a 4.5-point favorite.
It's probably about right.
That's
at
right.
Home,
that's right. That's a good line.
Yep. So that's not bad. That is in a revenge situation in an area where the Eagles have traditionally played well in Dallas.
They do play well down there.
I mean, it's setting up for at the very least an interesting game.
I like the Birds next week. I really do.
Yeah,
I like them. I like them to win outright.
It would have freaked you out if that line was a little bigger, huh?
If it was a little bigger, I'd be more concerned. I think the line's about right. I think the line's about right. And I would love it if the line was like 2. I'd be all over the Eagles.
Exactly.
All over the Birds.
Now, let's get back to that tweet that you were talking about before we go to the phones. It's from Mr. Brooks 127. Wentz was inaccurate at the beginning of the game. We should have been up 20 in the second quarter. The long ball was trash. You hear that and you say?
I say that's ridiculous. That's poppycock. He was 5 for 5 on the first drive for 48 yards and 13 of 18 in the first half. All right, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Those numbers aren't bad. He was 13 of 18 for 159, one touchdown, no sacks, no interceptions.
Here's the thing. When you've been kind of backsliding the way the Philadelphia has,
yeah,
I'll take incremental improvement. I'll take shoring up some areas and before saying, oh, how come they don't look like they did last year when they were blowing the doors off everybody?
Yeah, guess what? They're not. That's not going to happen this year. It's just not. They're not going to look exactly like last year's team. It's a different team. And listen, tonight was a lot better than we've seen out of this team. Tonight was a lot better than we've seen out of this team. They've only scored over 25 points once before this game. Now it's twice, 12 times last year. So again, they're not anywhere close to last year's team. But at times, they had glimpses of it tonight with the way Carson Wentz was slinging the ball.
Let's go to Andre in Dallas next. What's going on, Andre?
Hey, just wanted to call in with a Cowboys fan perspective. I was watching this game to see what to expect from you guys next week, and I wasn't really impressed with the performance from Philadelphia this week. And to be quite honest, I don't really think it's going to be close in Dallas next week. We should handle you guys pretty comfortably and take the division.
Comfortably, huh? So more than the 4.5-point line?
Yes, at least by a touchdown.
At least by, okay, well, that would mean that Dallas would have to score, you know, another touchdown than they scored against New Orleans. I mean, that devastating 13-10 win has to have you feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, the offense was clicking the other night, huh?
Well, New Orleans is a much better defense than what you guys are putting out.
Did you look at the stats? The New Orleans is a better
he
defense?
He doesn't look at the stats, obviously.
Oh, dude, they're bottom five in the league.
They're bottom five.
Did Mark Sanchez not march up and down the field on y'all in his first possession?
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, he handed it off to Adrian Peterson.
That was his
and
first
he went 90
bro.
Yards. It was huge. Mark Sanchez was tremendous tonight. 100 whole yards.
They had the one big play, and then the possession going into the half, Mark Sanchez was swinging it down the field.
13 to 21, 100 yards. Yeah. Yeah, he had a 53.7 rating. He was great.
He put up, aside from that run, he put up 3 points tonight. Put up three.
He
points.
Was rattled, but at the start, he was playing well. And let me just say, you guys aren't facing Mark Sanchez next week. You're facing Dak Prescott. So,
Dak's put three good games in a row.
Above average quarterback.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Andre. Before that, it's my favorite stat, you know, that the 16 games before the last, like, you know, 2.5 games. By the way, hold on. Let me see how well Dak played. 24 of 28, really good. 248, good. Touch it. Okay, got sacked 7 times.
He doesn't throw the ball downfield. He gets sacked. He put the ball on the carpet twice.
The 16 games that he had played before this recent really hot streak that he's had, EJ Manuel had better numbers in his last 16 games. So,
he leads the world in fumbles, and he leads the world in getting sacked.
Other than that, it's great.
He's a leader in those two categories. And doesn't throw the ball downfield. Good luck with him signing him to a big time contract. Good luck with that.
Well, we'll see. More than a touchdown. What say you, Chris in Williamstown?
You know what, Joe? I was ready to laugh, but I'm sorry, but that last call absolutely fired me the heck up. It's that kind of cocky butt attitude that's going to leave you open for an upset next week when we come into your house and take the food right out of your stinking mouth because you have an owner who don't want to win. He's a moron. He's an F. And until they get rid of Jerry Jones, which won't happen because he'll die before he gives up that team, you ain't winning nothing. Give me a break. All right? And look, they played good, but ultimately the Saints beat themselves. They lost that game. That team should have Dallas had no right. And yes, Van Der Esch, good player. I will give him that. But where was Ezekiel Elliott? Huh? Huh? I mean, I saw a couple times on the sideline where he looked frustrated. He looked frazzled. And wait till you go up against a defense who's had time to get their you-know-what back together. We're not blowing them out of their own house, man. Come on. Stop even playing me. This team is the way the mojo is flowing, it's flowing for us. And it didn't matter whether you had Alex Smith out there, Colt McCoy, or Mark Sanchez. We were taking this game tight. There was no way in God's green earth you were coming into our house and leaving our fans. I think this team finally clicked and they hit that switch. And now this is the time. I hear a lot of people saying no, season is now. No, but it's still at the same time. They are just getting going at the right time. It's going to be fun, guys, but Dallas, come on, man. Not even a game.
Well, Chris, thanks for the phone call, man. I've got to correct the statement, of course, because I want to be as accurate as I could possibly be. By the way, first of all, Washington's defense is rated eighth in the league in points per game. So, you know, pretty good defense. But New Orleans has vaulted into the top 15 in total in points allowed, Joe Stazer.
How about that?
It's because Dallas scored 13 freaking points on
that helps. That helps. A big 13. They hung a big 13 spot on the Saints. Now, listen, I give them credit. Oh, the defense was great. Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch. Tremendous linebackers.
They shut them down, of course. It was great.
Tremendous linebackers. They did a great job. Defense, they got all kinds of pressure on Drew Brees, but that offense is not a good offense. So that's just not a good offense.
Drew Brees played the worst game that he's ever played. Alvin Kamara did absolutely nothing. The offense was literally bottled up, and they won by three.
Yep. And
we'll see in Dallas.
And Sean Payton should have taken three earlier in the game. If you're in one of those games, he went for it. He did what Doug did tonight and got stuffed. You know, and you're looking back on it, you could have used those 3 points.
Oh, man. It's good. If we thought that the Dallas Brendan O'Malley says that Jordan Reed's the emergency quarterback, which is great because he's not playing any tight end anymore. It's Vernon Davis.
Right.
Has come. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Wow.
Big touchdown on Thanksgiving. I used to have him on my fantasy team, so I followed his career.
Uh-huh,
I had
yeah.
him a couple years in a row. The fact that he's still running and scoring points and being productive is amazing.
Those 49ers teams, they were like, all right, we're going to win by getting the world's fastest tight end and the world's fastest middle linebacker, and we'll see what happens. Man, Patrick Willis called it quits too soon.
And we'll back up the truck for a guy who's played 7 games.
Oh, yeah, that's current. That's current,
yes.
San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mark and Wayne, although he does look pretty good. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys, great show.
Thank you.
Good win. I'll take it, but it buys us one more week, although I'm still not happy with Doug's play calling. I realized on that one run that one guy was not blocked and he knifed in. But for the life of me, I don't know why when you're in the red zone with a quarterback that big and that athletic, you don't have him bootleg. If he did it on a play like that, he could have run to Camden before they knew he had the ball. So Doug still has me concerned. As for next week, I expect them to go down there and take care of business. It's all right in front of them, and there are no excuses. They beat a crippled team tonight, but they did it. They beat them. And I'll tell you guys, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist. That Dallas-New Orleans game, I don't believe. I really don't. I think something screwy there, boys. Follow the money.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark.
There ain't no way that that team scores 10 points against two defenses on the field. You know, Dallas' defense is good. It's not that good. I know that sounds wacky. It's late at night. I'm fired up, but...
No, look.
You got to go down and take care of business.
There have been some, Mark, thanks for the phone call. There have been some weird things that have gone on in the NFL over the last couple of weeks. However, if I was going to point to any game where New Orleans could just full on lay an egg, it would be on a Thursday night football game.
It would be
game,
that game.
Guaranteed.
I thought that game was a spot where they could have been a little vulnerable. Listen, it wasn't fixed. I think the last caller was implying it was fixed.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. That's crazy. But I'll give them credit. They played well. Dallas played well. They shut down a high-flying offense and a team that was, where did they? They had won every game. They won 8 in a row since the opening game where they lost to Tampa Bay.
And came storming back against Tampa Bay, by
yep.
the way.
Yes, they did.
They were getting blown out.
They were getting blown out.
Storming back.
Yeah. That's a dangerous football team. They're just, hey, saw what they did to the Eagles, 48-7. And then they score 10 points. It's the NFL. Every week, just watch games. Watch these games. You know, you see upsets left and right. Upsets left and right. It's an any given Sunday type of thing. It's crazy.
I'm still getting, speaking of any given Sunday, I'm still, like, not getting over Arizona knocking Mike McCarthy out of a job.
How about
in Green
that?
Bay.
That's what I'm talking about.
You would never
That's the
see
kind
that.
Of stuff I'm talking about. How Arizona's a double-digit underdog. They go into it wasn't at home.
No.
It was in Green Bay. And they win that game. Who would have thought that would have happened? Who would have thought the Giants would have beaten the Bears? That's why I love this league. I just love this league. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Week in and week out. It's crazy.
Did you see our good friend Chase Daniel?
I did.
Making his
I did. Saw pick six early in the game.
Making his mark on the game.
Yep,
absolutely.
He did.
Helped out big time. That was my favorite, right? He's still trying to help the Eagles. You know that? He's like, I see the Giants tankathon, and I'm going to interfere. I'm going to do everything that I can to help out the Eagles. Let's go to Stephen Chalfont next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thanks, Steve.
So my takeaway is I was there tonight. The crowd was electric. It was really fun to be down there. Biggest takeaways, the offensive line were the unsung heroes, I believe. You know, it just looked like Carson wasn't getting touched, wasn't getting pressured, and that just hasn't been happening all year long. And I think that, you know, helped the offense click, move the ball down the field. You definitely want to clean up some of the stuff in the red zone. You get two red zone opportunities and you don't get any points, but you clean that kind of stuff up and you still put up 28 points. The offensive line played great. It was fun to be down there.
Man, Jason Kelce was such a monster on that Darren Sproles run. That was one of the most dominating downfield blocking plays that I've seen in a long time.
He does that. He's not that big, but he's very athletic.
And then there's a couple plays that obviously Carson hits, and they're going to go forever. The one screen pass late in the second half, and then obviously the Nelson Aguilar. There's a few plays by Carson, and there's a few calls by Doug that we're just missing on, and we're so close. And if you can clean that up, you go down to Dallas next week, you beat them, and then who knows what happens. I mean, I don't know what the injury status is on some of our D-backs, but you get some of these guys back. I mean, Rasul Douglas, another guy tonight, he's making tackles in the open field. I mean, we haven't had that all year long. So there was definitely a lot of great takeaways. I'll tell you what, too, first time in a long time, I didn't sit down once at the game. The crowd is still into it. You know, we still believe.
Now, well, it's good to see that, Steve. Thanks for the phone call, because, you know, a lot of people who called in, you know, said kind of the contrary, that it's like, oh, just delaying the inevitable and playing out the string.
Gloom and doom. What's up with that?
A lot of gloom and doom.
What's up with the gloom and doom, man? I'm glad to hear that it was electric down there. On the tube, it sounded a little quiet in the first quarter, and it started to pick up a little bit as the game went along, and then everyone was into it. And I'm sure down there, the place was jumping. So, listen, they're still in this thing. They're still in this thing. You know, they have another week of football left. They win that game. It's going to be a crazy last 3 weeks.
Joe, I know you're a fan of weird stats.
Love weird stats.
I've got some from NFL research. There you go. Adrian Peterson broke Herschel Walker's record for the oldest player with a 90-yard rushing touchdown in NFL history.
Wow. Wow.
Second weird stat. This is the weirder one. Since 1950, Peterson and Walker are the only players not to finish with 100 or more rushing yards in the same game they rushed for a 90-yard touchdown.
That's unbelievable, because Peterson had 98 yards, and he had 9 carries. So on the other 8 carries, he had 8 yards.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that is remarkable.
Eagles did a nice job. There were people that were calling for Jim. They were like, oh, how could you not know that Adrian Peterson was going to run on the first play that you bring in Mark Sanchez? There were a lot of people crushing the run D. And I'm like, looking at the body of the work, outside of one 90-yarder, things look pretty good on the ground.
They look pretty good tonight. They look pretty good, except for that one play, you know, except for that one play, Mrs. Lincoln. it happens, you know, it happened. It's how you rebound from it. And they rebounded nicely and went on to pretty much dominate the rest of the way.
Let's go to Ray in Sicklerville next on the post game show. Good evening, Ray.
Good show, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Finally. The offensive line and the defense line finally did what they supposed to do. Carson Wentz got a little bit of pressure, but the defensive front finally did their job. And it seemed like the game I was watching, everybody was supposed to do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, what I call it is freelancing. We saw a ton of that, especially in the secondary as the season was going on. It was a very much more disciplined game played by the Eagles today.
Yeah, and it started with the run game.
Mm-hmm.
The run game, and eventually it opened up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ray. I think that you and I were watching the same game, man. And it's good to see the area where the Eagles really dominated last year, Joe, in the trenches, kind of swing back their way, because Washington's defensive line and offensive line, even though the O-line's banged up, both pretty good.
Yeah, they are pretty good, but they are banged up. They lost their, you know, both guards, and it is a banged up team. What I didn't like, because I liked a lot of things about this game tonight, Jim Schwartz drives me nuts. You got Mark Sanchez back there. You're still rushing four. You know, bring some people. Make Mark Sanchez, you know, not comfortable back there, because he got comfortable at times. He's still Mark Sanchez, but I would have put pressure on McCoy and Sanchez, and he just doesn't do it.
The one play, I was hoping you could explain this to me, but I'm sure that it puzzled you as well, before we go to break. When they accepted the penalty to make it 3rd and 30, back near the 40-yard line,
yep,
and then didn't blitz and just let Washington pick up the penalty yards and kick the field goal.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, "What? If you're ever going to blitz,
if you're ever gonna
this
blitz,
is it.
That was the time to do it. Yep.
Like, why even accept the penalty?
They ended up getting 3 out of it.
Because the only thing that you could do, if you don't accept the penalty, or if you accept the penalty and don't blitz, you could get a defensive penalty and give them a first down. Like,
that was on Jim Schwartz.
I was blown away.
That was on Jim Schwartz.
I'll have more interesting stats for you. Plus, we'll get to more phone calls next. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak, Joe Torti here with you on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Right now, Omaha Steaks has a limited time offer for our listeners. When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code MikeMiss into the search bar, you will get 74% off Omaha Steaks family package, originally $195, now only $49.99. Order now and you'll get 4 hand-cut, aged to tenderness top sirloin steaks, 2 savory premium pork chops, 4 chicken fried steaks, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 snappy kielbasa sausages, all beef meatballs, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, plus get 4 more burgers for free. Omaha Steaks is a 5th-generation family-owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand-cut by master butchers in Omaha. Again, this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Mike Miss in the search bar and add the family gift package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Mike Miss in the search bar, and send the Omaha Steaks family gift package today.
Fanatic fan favorites.
Want your Jeep or Ram truck for less? You got to see Jeff at number 1, Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group in Destination Downingtown. Nobody beats a Jeff deal. See for yourself. Shop online at GoJeffAuto.com.
Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over 2 decades helping our community.
Attention contractors. Denny Electric Supply has 8 locations with supplies for every job and a new counter now open in South Jersey. Visit DennyElectricSupply.com.
Frank Kerbeck lowers Buick GMC prices to up to 40% off original MSRP. 275 factory fresh GMCs and Buicks reduced. FCKerbeck.com.
Ardent Credit Union is rewarding local high school athletes with grit. Visit 975thefanatic.com/contest/grit to nominate your kid to win a $100 gift card from Ardent.
Fanatic fan favorites on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey everybody, Anthony Gargano here to talk to you about the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. Oh, I love this product. It's the Bagster Bag, of course. A 3-cubic yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, and for only $29.99. Look, the Bagster handles all jobs. So whether it's cleaning out the basement, the garage, the attic, maybe you're a contractor, or maybe you just want to purge all the bad luck in your life, like I did with the sports community. It works, baby. I'm telling you. Throw everything in a Bagster. Anything you want. want to get rid of. In the Baxter it goes. And it's convenient and it's affordable and it's on demand. You buy it, fill it, simply schedule your collection and poof, gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebaxter.com to find stores nearest you for more details. That's right. Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Baxter dumpster in the back.
Julia owed the IRS thousands.
I was paralyzed with fear.
Then
I heard a commercial for Optima Tax Relief.
Optima Tax Relief is the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and experts in the Fresh Start Initiative.
Optima Tax Relief settled my IRS tax bill.
Call Optima now for a free consultation.
It was amazing.
Call 800-279-8755. 800-279-8755.
Optima Tax Relief.
With the holiday season approaching, the New Jersey Transit Police Department remind you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Your attention is our most valuable asset. If you ride the train or bus, if you live or work near a station, be alert and aware of your surroundings. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. New Jersey Transit urges you to help keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. PD.
Hey, make a splash with the Fanatics deal of the week. This week only, get two tickets to Sahara Sam's Oasis Indoor Water Park for just $33. Located in West Berlin, Sahara Sam's is New Jersey's largest indoor water park. Sahara Sam's features a wide array of exhilarating state-of-the-art water rides and attractions, interactive games, and much more. Sahara Sam's has options for guests of all sizes, patrons of all ages, and weather of all seasons. It's the perfect gift for the whole family this holiday season. Hurry, this deal is only available for purchase through Sunday at 97.5. TheFanatic.com. Keyword is deal.
Happy holidays from 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, this is Dina from the sales department at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'd like to wish you and your family a happy holiday and a healthy new year.
Hey, this is Zach from the Fanatic sales staff, and I just wanted to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas this holiday season.
Hi, this is Lindsay from the Fanatic sales department. I just want to wish everybody a safe and happy holiday season.
Season's greetings, and thanks for listening to the sports voice of the New Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Sports talk for Ben Salem and all of Bucks County.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Here is Sproles. Look at Kelsey working downfield, and Sproles spins his way into the end zone.
Well done by Tyler Zuli, because, of course, I know that he was about to, or he knew that I was about to mention. Darren Sproles scored his first touchdown since week 16 of 2016. Joe Stazak, it had been 711 days since Darren Sproles' last touchdown.
Still looks pretty quick to me. Four carries, 22 yards, including that touchdown, which he was a beast on that touchdown. I think he still looks good. Obviously, he's rested because he's been out since week one, but I thought he looked like Darren Sproles.
In particular, I thought he looked dangerous in the punt return game. The Eagles are now 6-1 this year when they rush for 100 or more yards. They are 0-5 when they rush for fewer than 100 yards.
There you go. Says something about the running game.
And speaking of the running game, I'll give you one more, Joe Stazak.
What do you got?
Josh Adams is the first Eagles running back with 18 or more carries in back-to-back games since Ryan Matthews in 2016.
Wow.
That's hard to believe last year that no Eagles back had 18 carries back-to-back.
That's because they rotated them, you know. Deuce Staley went round and round. Yeah, you and I could never figure out, you know, the rhyme or reason to it, but it worked. I mean, they ended up third in rushing overall in the league. But you're right. I mean, you would think that maybe a Jai would hit that number. Mm-hmm. Blunt carried the ball 173 times.
I mean, 18's not ridiculous.
It's not a huge number.
We've seen Sean Alexander and Adrian Peterson get the ball 35 times in a game before.
Yep, exactly. But, hey, it tells you a little something about Doug likes to sling it.
He likes to sling it. That is the truth. Let's go to Tim in Newcastle next. Tim, you're on the postgame show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tim.
I just want to talk about how these Cowboys fans, man, they're getting a lot of credibility from you know, that New Orleans win. They're feeling themselves. But we're going to come in there and we're going to show up, man. This was a big win for us.
Well, and they're super focused on it, Tim. Like, listening to them before the game, they were talking about, obviously, they were geared up for this game. But everybody was saying it's a two-game season. These two games are the only things that matter. So they got one out of the way.
You know it, man. And Tate did show up, and, you know, the running game's been consistent over the last two games. I mean, we got to agree. I mean, you know, if that running game keeps going, I mean, and we shut down their running game, you know, it's going to be a ball game, and you know, we can come out there for a win. I mean, they showed up. It's our turn.
All right, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. You were breaking up a little bit there at the end. Zach Ertz, 93 receptions on the season. Does he?
He's honing in on Jason Witten's record. He'll break that in two or three games.
The record's 122?
Yeah, I think it is 122.
That's a lot of catches for a tight end.
Isn't that great? Ertz has been a monster this year, just a monster. Wentz and him hooking up left and right.
It's pretty remarkable. Hold on. No, he's going to get this easily. It's 110. He broke the record with 103 on December 23rd, and then he tacked on seven more. So it's 110. That's going to be easy. That's going to be easy.
He's at 93, and he's got to hit 110?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's easy.
2 weeks.
Yeah, he's got that done.
Yep.
Let's go to Mike in Coatesville next on the Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing,
Mike?
Headed home from the game. It's got three good takeaways from the Eagles. First, I like Josh Adams. It just seems like he's a couple open field moves away from, you know, taking that next step. Solid back, another good game. I also like Golden Tate. Looked like him and Carson are on the same page tonight, able to improvise a little bit better. And the last one, finally, defense able to get some, you know, takeaway. They had a good pick. Got the ball on the ground. Colt McCoy had a lucky recovery. Unfortunately, I think it was Brandon Graham that forced it. But finally, you know, defense started to make some plays as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It all started to come together. And Mike, I think that's the encouraging part. People are like, oh, it's not all the way back. But at least every area, special teams, offense, defense, it all started to come together. I mean, if they can get hot at the right time, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah. And I mean, it's coming together at the right time. I mean, you don't have a choice at this point. You know, big game with Dallas. I just hope to see some of the coaching cleaned up. I didn't like the going for two. I know we got it, but I didn't really get the logic behind it. Fourth down play call, burning a timeout, coming up that play call didn't make sense. And I didn't like the Sproles. I know it's probably more Deuce Daly, but bringing Sproles in for his first carry on what was like a 3rd and 7 just seemed like a weird time to get him his first look. So hoping to clean some of that stuff up for next week.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. What'd you make of that, running him up the middle on 3rd down?
I didn't like it.
Stunning.
Yeah,
surprised me that you didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I thought the play calling, and who was that, Mike? I think Mike hits on some good points. It was curious that they went for two after, you know, going up 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what chart he's looking at or what the book says. I guess the book says you go for two there, but I think common sense would say go for one, put yourself up 8. But, because you run the risk of, I mean, you put yourself in good position up 8. They have to score and they have to hit a conversion. You put yourself up 9. Yes, I understand. And it's a 2-score game. And they got lucky. They got away with it. I'd love to hear what Doug Peterson had to say about that.
We'll hear from Doug in just about 10 minutes, I think.
All right.
Well, Tyler, how long is this thing? It's 10 minutes? Okay, so we can't play it right now. So we'll have to wait until the final segment of the postgame show to play this thing.
All right.
You see this this Philly.com headline? Absolutely savage from Mike Sielski. Finally, Mark Sanchez helps the Eagles win a big game. Oh.
Come on. He won that Thanksgiving game down in Dallas a few years back.
Huge.
He's won a game. He's won a game or two.
Oh, that's what we should have said to our friend Andre. Oh, when he was talking all that garbage on Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
Oh, what a missed opportunity.
He whooped that ass down on Thanksgiving Day. I was the Chip Kelly era. That was Chip.
Those are the golden days, man. Those are the days. That's the first time that Chip Kelly must have thought to himself, it literally doesn't matter who I have. Like, my system's just going to go.
He still thinks that.
Yeah.
You know he still thinks that, right?
At UCLA, that's the truth.
He still thinks that at UCLA. Plug and play. Plug and play Chip. Brutal.
Absolutely brutal. What else do we have here? Golden Tate scored his first touchdown as an Eagle. And by the way, oh, this is one that I know because you're a big fan of the scripted plays and the scripted offense.
Love that.
Philadelphia scored on their opening drive for the first time since week six. They scored on their first drive. I almost didn't recognize the team. I said, who is this?
It's incredible. And the first drive in week six, what is that, the Giants?
I have to go back and look. I believe that is the Giants game. Yeah.
So, yeah, it took them 12 plays. Not that I'm complaining, but, you know, they don't score quickly. They don't score quickly. It got a little more, you know, they started playing with a little more alacrity as the game went on. But they certainly don't. They're not a quick strike offense. But they went methodically drove the ball down the field on the first drive, and they punched it in, which was good for them because they had scored 21 points in the first quarter so far this year. 21 points.
Pretty remarkable.
21 points. The league average is 34.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, and nine times they didn't score at all.
Right. Yeah. It's zero. Yeah. Zero. They had goose eggs. Yep.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So,
Joe, I know that you've said before that you don't see this team getting back to the level where they were last year, this year. However, in terms of getting on track offensively and defensively, what does that look like for the team? Like, if it's not going to look like the domination of last year, but they do get on track, what does it look like?
I think it looks like how they played tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought their offense stumbled at times, but was sharp at other times. I think that's what you're going to see this year. You know, you're going to see the rest of the way, at least. I think you're going to see it in Dallas. I think Carson Wentz is starting to feel himself a little bit right now, and he's got the connection with Ertz, and if Golden Tate can play how he's been playing, and Aguilar makes a play here or there, they have some weapons. Got to be able to run the ball as well, and I would incorporate Darren Sproles a little more in the offense. You know, I still think he can be a very dangerous weapon out there. The secondary is still, it is what it is. My problem with the defense is Jim Schwartz. I just don't trust him. The lining up four and dropping seven back all the time, it bothers me. You know, send five, send six. You know, and when you need to blitz, you need to send people. Like you said on that play. You were just talking about the third and 30. Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't have a blitz in your system, right? Just like draw something and be like, do this one play.
One play, do like, this. You go in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You and you go. I don't know, man. Like, here's what I think of. On third down and 30, like, that's the time where the longer that play goes, the worse it is. The only bad things can happen for the defense.
Absolutely.
The longer that goes.
Absolutely. You know how they play when they line, they do the picket fence too. You know, all those plays.
I saw it on third and 30. I was like, are you serious?
Unbelievable. Like, you know, got to play against the field goal too, boys.
See, here's, I don't know if you subscribe to this here. I think kickers nowadays, a lot of kickers, the good ones, are super freaks. And I think that Hopkins is one of those like super freak kickers.
They are freaky.
So I consider the 40-yard line to be another goal line. Like if you're backed up to the 40 and you don't let them get another inch, they can't kick. But if they get to the 37, these super freaks can actually hit these field goals now.
With regularity.
That's where I'm like on third. You can't let them get 10 yards
exactly.
on third and 30.
No,
like,
That's my point. That's your point.
Yes.
Put some pressure on them. It's Mark Sanchez, for gosh sakes. He hasn't started a game since 2015. All right? He hasn't thrown a touchdown in 3 years.
Oh, man.
You know, get some pressure on them. Get, you know, like you said, you get pressure there. It doesn't allow them to get past the 40-yard line. To me, Jim Schwartz cost the team 3 points on that drive.
It's surreal that we're sitting here talking about Mark Sanchez. It's full-on an out-of-body experience.
By the way,
right,
UCLA
now
went 3-9 this year.
Chip
Kelly.
Oh, well. Culture beats scheme, you know. So that's Joe Stazak. I'm Joe Torty. We will be right back with Doug Peterson when we return to the Fanatic postgame show.
97.5, The Fanatic. Fanatic fan favorite.
Want your Jeep or Ram truck for less? You got to see Jeff at number one, Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group in Destination Downingtown. Nobody beats a Jeff deal. See for yourself. Shop online at gojeffauto.com.
Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community.
Attention contractors. Denny Electric Supply has 8 locations with supplies for every job and a new counter now open in South Jersey. Visit DennyElectricSupply.com.
Frank Kerbeck lowers Buick GMC prices to up to 40% off original MSRP. 275 factory fresh GMCs and Buicks reduced. FCKerbeck.com.
Ardent Credit Union is rewarding local high school athletes with grit. Visit 975thefanatic.com/contest/grit to nominate your kid to win a $100 gift card from Ardent.
Fanatic fan favorites on 97.5. The Fanatic.
Hey, it's Jason Martinez for Window Nation. Time is running out on Window Nation's Deal of the Year. This week is the final week for buy two windows, get two free. Buy four, get four free. Buy six, get six free with no limit. Plus, get 0% financing for 5 full years. Save that well-earned money to splurge on your family, friends, or yourself this holiday season. Temperatures have fallen. You feeling that cold air coming into your home? It's only going to get colder over the next couple of months, and your energy bills are starting to rise. So now's the time to get those windows replaced. Window Nation has saved customers an estimated $40 million in energy over the years. This is the final week of the best offer of the year from Window Nation. This absolutely ends Sunday. Get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy. Buy 4, get 4 free, no limit. Plus 0% interest for 5 years. Call today, 866-90-NATION, and save thousands on your windows and your energy bills. Use for holiday shopping this season. Save today, save tomorrow, save forever. Call 866-90-NATION today or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
It's time to expect more from a diner. And that's just what you'll find at Andy's Diner. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, late night, and early morning. At Andy's Diner, it all starts with the ingredients. Everything on the menu is made from scratch and cooked to perfection. Andy's is already famous for their $1.95 breakfast specials, $5.95 lunch deals, and $9.95 dinners. And now they've upped their game with their weekend breakfast buffets, served every Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Andy's even sharing his cooking tips and tricks with members of Andy's Pub Club. Join now and you'll also get monthly coupons, early information on upcoming events, and a chance to win a beautiful granite kitchen counter makeover. Sign up for Andy's Pub Club at any of Andy's 3 locations or online at andysdinerandpub.com. Raise your expectations at Andy's Diner, located in Conshohocken, Trevose, and Springhouse. Online at andysdinerandpub.com.
Hey, Flyers fans, Shawnee Hill here with Gritty. Looking for the perfect gift for the holiday season? Grab a Flyers Santa sack today. Every Santa sack includes a pair of Flyers tickets, an autographed puck, a bonus pair of Wings tickets. Yeah, I was just getting that, Gritty. Each Santa sack also includes an exclusive collectible Gritty Christmas ornament. Add a little grit to your holidays with Flyers Santa sacks. Get yours now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
You wanted the best? Well, you got the best!
Friday, March 29th, 7:30, Wells Fargo Center.
Kiss
on their final tour ever. Tickets start at $29.50 plus fees and are on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
History will be made.
The reviews are in. Philly's newest sports bar is now its best sports bar. Stats on 17th. Located in the heart of Rittenhouse, Stats on 17th has over 30 screens showing all of the college and pro games, great food, smoking hot waitresses, and bartenders with drink specials during all the games. Philadelphia finally has the great sports bar to watch the Birds, Sixers, and Flyers. Stats on 17th, 111 South 17th Street below Davio's. If you want to watch Philly sports with real fans, there is only one way. Stats on 17th. StatsOn17.com.
Hey, make a splash with the Fanatics Deal of the Week. This week only, get 2 tickets to Sahara Sam's Oasis Indoor Water Park for just $33. Located in West Berlin, Sahara Sam's is New Jersey's largest indoor water park. Sahara Sam's features a wide array of exhilarating state-of-the-art water rides and attractions, interactive games, and much more. Sahara Sam's has options for guests of all sizes, patrons of all ages, and weather of all seasons. It's the perfect gift for the whole family this holiday season. Hurry, this deal is only available for purchase through Sunday at 97.5. TheFanatic.com. Keyword is deal.
Philly's official Flyers station, 97.5. The Fanatic.
It looked like he came out with a clear purpose to try and be balanced, try and contain that throughout the entire game. Was that one of the plans and elements?
Yes.
And what made it effective? Why did it work?
Well, I think we offensively executed extremely well, especially on that first drive. Thinking back, I mean, had a nice mix of run and pass and kind of getting everybody settled in. But I thought that, the guys have really focused in, this week and did a nice job. I mean, it was really good to see.
One of the emphasis tonight for the defense was run stopping. Had some problems the last few weeks. Adrian Peterson's a load, except for the one run.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good job.
Yeah, we knew going in that possibly have to, stop the run again. I thought they for the most part throughout the game, did a nice job of that. I really felt like our corners, quite frankly, were able to come up and make some tackles for losses, or at least some minimal gains on the perimeter when a big back like that bounces outside. So, yeah, they did a nice job.
On the two-point conversion, when you went up 7, you went for 2, and you got it. I understand that the math is, you go up 2 scores there, but what is the deeper math there?
Deeper math?
Yeah,
gosh, now you're throwing me for a loop. Deeper math was just trust the math and trust to go up 2 scores. I mean, that was the right thing to do. And, it was the right thing to do. Yeah. I think there's anything deeper than that.
First time this year that you guys won back-to-back games. Are you seeing things start to turn around like you said last week?
I think this group, first of all, resilient group, and as you know, and I've said that a lot, and this group doesn't let a lot bother them. And I think what you've seen now these last couple of weeks, we've started to get some guys back healthy a little bit. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. And I think things are kind of clicking a little bit, especially, the offense is kind of, work through some things and some rhythm and timing and getting more guys involved. I think that's starting to take shape just a little bit. And defense is gaining confidence. The young guys are maturing and playing well. We need that. We need that right now. We need that sort of shot in the arm and that pick me up. And I believe this is the first two game winning streak, this season. It's a great time to, start winning.
Doug, is Corey back to where he was last year with the way
he's been?
Clement.
Corey's. I think Corey's back. I mean, I think he's, the last couple of weeks, he's shown that. He's run extremely hard. He's obviously a one of our core team's players. But yeah, he's feeling good. Doing some really good things. Running hard.
What's the word on Jason Peters?
On the field, all I got was he got rolled up. We'll find out more later tonight and tomorrow.
Darius Sproles scored his touchdown. You went to the bench. You don't normally do that. I congratulated him personally. Why was that an important moment for you and for Darren and for the team?
I wanted to go over and just sort of say welcome back and congratulate him. He just looked up and just kind of whispered thank you, to me. He's such a class act and a great leader on this football team. Obviously it's unfortunate his situation and the injuries that have set him back. But for him to come out tonight and do the things he was able to do. And then the guys, I do believe the guys really wanted to get him a touchdown at some point, it meant a lot to him, but it meant a lot to the guys as well. So I wanted him to know from my standpoint how much I appreciate him.
What way does he personify the resilience of the team?
The way he works. He doesn't let anything. He's one of the few guys that doesn't let anything bother him, quite frankly. Through this injury, he has just battled, and he has worked his tail off every single day to get back on the football field. So proud of him and what he's been through and the adversity to come out and, get himself in the end zone, get that touchdown tonight, I think is what he needs. I think as an individual, that's what he needs. Now we'll catapult him this next week and in the remainder of our season, however many games that is. He just epitomizes the heart and soul of our football team, and it was really, really good for that to see, for us to see that tonight.
Well, Doug, you mentioned rhythm earlier. Was that the reason you want at least a little bit of tempo early to try to get Carson in the rhythm?
That and we just, you know, a lot of times when you know, we get a substantial gain, a chunk type play, I like to kind of get on the ball because the, you know, the play clock is running down, you know, a little bit, and just helps us get on the ball, and then it just helps our offense settle in, our quarterback settle in, and we did it a couple times tonight, just to kind of change the pace just a little bit, and it was effective.
Is under sweat center more so that's just part of the game plan.
Yeah, a little bit, and just the way the game plan went this week. Yeah.
It seemed Carson improvised a lot more today. How much more dangerous does it make the offense when he's scrambling around, extending plays, and creating like that?
Well, anytime he can extend plays with his legs, he's such a good athlete, and he throws well on the perimeter. I think it's just an advantage to the offense, and he was able to do that tonight. Made a nice throw to Nelson Aguilar coming across the field, and then in the second half, I believe Golden Tate a couple times, and just being able to do that just you know, helps us stay on the field, and he's gifted at doing that, and I mean, it's just something that just happens naturally for him, you know, and it's an exciting play.
What worked with Golden Tate so well tonight, and just kind of what have you learned about him the last month when things haven't, you know, necessarily been going according to plan?
You know, I don't know if it's as much Golden Tate as just I think the offense, allowing the offense to work, and just a lot of those throws, Golden Tate wasn't necessarily the primary guy. You know, it's just you kind of get through your reads or you know, a broken play, and Carson found him. So he's beginning, going back to Golden, I mean, he's you know, he's kind of found a rhythm. He's kind of understanding the offense a little bit more. And I think tonight it was really good to see, because the ball got spread around a little bit in the passing game, and he had a nice night tonight.
There he is, Doug Peterson, talking about the impact of Golden Tate, talking about his ground game, talking about his quarterback. And once again, obviously, after a win, Joe Stazak in a much better mood.
Yeah, and he should be. The team's clicking a little bit right now. And since they were down 19-3 to the Giants, they've scored 50 points in just over a game and a half. So
pretty good.
That's something to look back on and say, all right, you know, build on that, because this team has been bereft of points this year. They just, you know, they're down a touchdown over the average last year. And so it's starting to click now. 50 points in a game and a half, I'll take that.
Zach Ertz talked about it too, that had the Eagles not gotten stopped inside the five twice today, you're talking about putting 40 points
on
this
team. You're dropping a 40 spot on the Skins.
So
you really are.
So, that's some deep math for you.
What's up with that
deeper
question?
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Are some of those questions today?
The first one right out of the gate. Yes.
Yeah. Give a Belichick answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, hey, he's not going to do your job for you. Joe, we're out of time again.
What? Already?
Already.
Wow.
Unless you want to go till 2.
No, I'm good.
Okay, you sure?
I'm
all right,
good.
All right. Then we'll pack things up here. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. Thank you very much, Tyler Zuli, performing double duty. Tyler did a great job with Pat Egan during the game, and of course sticks around to produce the Eagles post-game show. And Joe, it's been fun. We'll
always
be split up in a couple of weeks, so we have our one last time together until the next time
until
together.
Until the next time
next
together.
Week.
All right. Well, we got the big game, though.
We do it. This is the one.
We have the big game together.
This is the season.
Yes, this is the season.
He's Joe Stazak. I'm Joe Torti. We will talk to you during the game, during the season, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.